We're going to turn to Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. I'm going to read in chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. We talked a little bit about this last week, and I contemplated on a few things, and I feel like I want to take what we talked about last week a step further. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 1, 1 through 7. Again, I appreciate our visitors being here. God bless you. And glad to have you. If you don't have a regular church home, come see us again. I know a real nice one. It's out on Carlisle Road, about 5005. Sits right across from the Dover Animal Hospital. And I think you'll find some pretty nice folks there. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 1 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." Here's the purpose: to know wisdom and instruction, to receive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let me paraphrase the first part of verse 7, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Until we begin to fear the Lord, we don't know anything. We know nothing. We can think we know it all. Until we fear God, we don't know anything. Let's pray. And last week we talked about start at the beginning. We talked about starting with the fear of the Lord. I'll just briefly breeze through that. But today I want to talk about this topic. What is the fear of the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? You talk about, well, he's a very God-fearing man. In fact, today we talk about things in such a way, we almost think, well, God is this nice guy. Don't tell anybody you got to fear God because they won't want to come. The only reason they won't want to come is because of their pride. But I'll tell you what, if they're looking for help, they're going to start fearing the Lord. They're looking for somebody really going to love them, care for them, provide their needs. I think they'll start fearing the Lord. It's interesting when all of a sudden some kind of tragedy occurs, all of a sudden we sing, "God bless America." There's this little inkling of fearing of God. It was kind of left over from generations before. So we're going to talk about what is the fear of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. I thank you for taking care of us. And I thank you that you do love us with an everlasting love. We can call on you and you'll show us great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Which you said, that's what you said. You've given us promises. And Lord, yes, you can. As we've talked about all year, with God all things are possible. And yet we have to begin, come to you according to your statutes, your commands, your judgments, according to your prerequisites, if you will. Lord, we know we can come to you. Lord, I want our folks to understand this. Burn this deep in our heart today. I pray that we'll not only want to begin with the fear of the Lord, that we will want to know what it is and that we will begin to practice it. Lord, I love these folks. You know I do. I want them to rise up in the arms of faith. I want them to see what, I mean, we've talked years, we talked about generations past that God had blessed because they feared God, and generations have risen and don't even know what fear of the Lord is, and we've lost the blessings. So Lord, I pray that you'll bless this morning. May your Holy Spirit move, and we'll give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. If all of God's promises are true, and they are, and if God is no respecter of persons, he'll bless anyone who, as the Bible says, any man of any nation whose heart is righteous, who does right, then why are we not seeing the promises of God working as much in our lives as they should? And I think some folks have tried to skip to the promises without making sure they do the first things first. That's what we talked about last week. We have to start at the beginning. He says here in verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Well, I don't know what to do. Well, let me ask you, do you fear the Lord? Well, I'm not sure I understand what truth is. Do you fear the Lord? I'm not asking whether you're a Baptist. I'm asking, do you fear the Lord? We found out last week that we got to fear first. We found that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where we read there this morning. We found out the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom in Proverbs 9:10. It's the beginning. You don't, we have not begun to understand, to be able to have the wisdom to make the decisions for our family, for our lives, for our spouses, for our finances. We have not begun until we fear with Him. Fear Him. So what does that have to do with it? Because if you fear Him, you'll do what He says. And because until we do it as He designed it, He created the world, I know that people with no fear of God somehow wants to believe that we oozed up out of the mud, lightning struck, and out came a bullfrog. You know, I mean, I don't know what somehow or other. As silly as it sounds, well, it just takes a million years to do it. Take, the proverbial illustration, take your watch apart, put it in a can, stir it up. How long are you going to have to stir it till it's all put back together? What's going to happen is you can stir all you want. It's going to take all the pieces and rub off all the corners and all the messes. So it's not, you can't even put it back together if you wanted to. The law of thermodynamics says that things are getting more into the state of chaos, not more into the state of order. We're not, why? Listen, why do we do that? Because we do not fear the Lord. We want to do as we please. When we see God in all His glory, we refuse to glorify Him as God. From not professing ourselves to be wise, we become fools. We don't fear the Lord. Why should we fear the Lord? I read a bunch of things for you last week. I'm not going to even give you the references. You can go back and get them from last week. The fear of the Lord, ye His saints, for there's no want to them that fear Him. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is the help of their shield and their shield. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His way. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Fear is first. Why should we fear? All the blessings. But by the way, there can be great loss if we don't. Proverbs 10 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, and he that feareth the commandments shall be rewarded. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. Happy is a man that feareth alway, but he that hardened his heart, that's the point. He that hardened his heart shall fall into mischief. There are folks that I don't want to fear the Lord because I have to admit that He's right. And if I got to admit that He's right, then I'm wrong. Why should we fear the Lord? Because God sees everything. Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all his goings. So what is the fear of the Lord? I could attempt to explain it, but I'm going to allow the Word of God to do it since He's the one that is asking for it, and I'll fear Him enough that He knows what we need to know. And when he knows what he's talking about. Let me give you number one. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is to do right. The fear of the Lord is to do right. It's kind of like I had in Sunday school this morning. We talked about faith. You can't see faith. In John chapter 3, it talks about the Spirit of God. And Jesus is trying to teach Nicodemus about the fear of God. It says it's kind of like the wind that blows. You can't see the wind, but you can see what the wind does. The wind itself is invisible. Now, you might blow some smoke into the wind, but you're not seeing the wind, you're seeing the smoke. The Holy Spirit's like that. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can see what He's done in the lives of people. And I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen it. I wouldn't embarrass anybody by talking about having them stand up, but there's folks in this room that God has done a work. Faith is the same way. You can't see faith, but you see what faith does. James says faith without works is dead. It's not a live faith. If your faith doesn't move you, if you don't change your actions according to your faith, then you don't have any faith. If you keep doing what you were always doing, it didn't change, then why would you say you believe what you say you believe? The fear of the Lord is, again, the same. We can say, I fear God. I go to church every Sunday morning. Well, that's good, but do you fear God? When you get out, when you go outside the church, do you do what he says? I'm going to do what I need to do because I don't know if any other church members might be around town. They might see me. Then you fear them. You're not fearing God. The mark of your character, the true mark of your character is not what you do when you're in front of everybody. It's what you do when you're in front of nobody but God. If you really understand who God is and that he sees all, he knows all, he's right there, then it's going to change what you do. Listen. You've all seen somebody, maybe we've all done it, where you kind of look around and say, well, they're not here. Let me tell you what I'm thinking. Why? Because you fear that you don't want that person to hear what you're about to say. And yet we'll run off the mouth and run God down in front of the eyes of somebody as if he's not standing right there next to you. By the way, if you're saved, he's in you. He's hearing everything you say. The fear of the Lord means, watch this, if we really fear the Lord, it means that we're going to obey the Lord. We cannot claim the promises of God if we do not fear the Lord. We cannot claim we fear the Lord if we do not obey the Lord. And how can we claim we fear the Lord if we are willing to, how can we claim we fear the Lord if we are not willing to risk, I'm sorry, I'm saying right, I got an extra word in here. How can we claim the fear of the Lord if we are willing to risk going against the Lord? There we go. We say we claim the Lord. How can we claim we fear the Lord if we're willing to go against him? How can we claim to fear the Lord if we are willing to disobey the Lord? How can we claim to fear the Lord if we are willing to transgress the law of the Lord? Now, you and me, since we're human, we're talking in infinities here. Fact is, our flesh gets the best of us all the time, here and there and yon. So I'm not saying, I thought I was saved, but I did something I shouldn't have done, so I guess I'm not saved. That's not what I'm saying. But when you do something that you shouldn't have done, and then you get the old Holy Spirit goes, you're probably saved because the Holy Spirit's in there saying, like, you know, the Bible says the word of God is let it be your kinswoman, your sister. You know, it's like taking your sister on a date. You're going to be a good boy because you're going to go home and tell mom everything that happened. Word of God is the Holy Spirit uses the word of God and sits there and prods. Speaks to you, comes back to your remembrance. Daddy's not going to like that. Daddy's not going to like that. Okay. Fact is, there's a certain fear. Now, it didn't say, okay, I fear the Lord, I got everything else right. No, he said the fear of the Lord is the beginning. But we haven't started a walk with God unless we fear him. You can have salvation and take what he's given you and still not walk in fear of him. You feared hell, but do we fear our walk with him on earth? When I grew up down in Snydersburg, what was the name of that junkyard down there? Smitty's junkyard. Now you don't go into Smitty's junkyard. It wasn't worth a whole lot by the time I was old enough to look at it. But don't you dare get any of it. You know, you leave it right there. You know, and so you don't go into. He's got no trespassing sign. You know, he's got a shotgun. Now, wait a minute. If you fear Schmitty, you're not going to go in there. But if you can jump right over the fence, right past the sign where it says no trespassing, go right on in, you don't fear him. A fool will pass on and be destroyed. But God will take care of him who fears. He that walketh, let me give you a couple verses. You're not stay in Proverbs and Psalms here, but Proverbs 14:2. If you're fast, I'm not going to spend a lot of time letting you get to these. I got a couple I'm going to let you see. But if you're fast, hang tight with me. Proverbs 14:2 said, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. How do you know you fear the Lord? Because he has that respect, that reverence, that fear, that afraid. He's alarmed by the Lord because he's going to do what the Lord said to do. But he that is perverse, he that goes on his own ways, he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. That word despise means to disesteem, to think light of. Oh, God's not going to see that. Come on, everybody's doing that thing. We don't have to worry about that. Listen, you're telling me that you're right and all the world out there is wrong. No, I'm saying God's right and all the world out there is wrong. And if God's right, I'm sticking with God. Well, I fear the God well enough. I fear him well enough to do, you know, I mean, we're good. I mean, Lord and I, we're just, I've heard somebody do that. I've seen them do it. Lord and I, we're just like this. You don't fear God. Now listen, he loves me with an everlasting love that I deserve none of. His mercy endureth forever. He will never leave me nor forsake me. When he says, lo, I'm with you always, that's the truth. And I'm glad of it. He's God. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. But he that's perverse, goes off in his own way, despiseth him. Psalm 112:1 says, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Psalm 128:1 says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. You know, it's one thing, and I've kind of said this there, but it's one thing to be saved, it's another thing to fear the Lord. Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and the fear of the Lord, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Watch this. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. You know what purged? My sin, what purged me of my iniquity, what pronounces me righteous, not that I am, but pronounces me righteousness, is that he's imputed upon me, it's on my record, the righteousness of Christ. Not because of me, but because of his blood. He died and paid for my sins. By the way, he died and paid for yours too. It's all done. Would you like to sign on? He's got a list of sins of everything you're going to do until the day you die. But they're all paid in full. All you've got to do is sign your name at the bottom. I'm a sinner headed for hell who needs a Savior. I'll take the gift. By mercy, the iniquity is purged. We don't deserve it. But wait a minute. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. See, I'm saved. And I'm going to do something wrong before I go to heaven. But the fact is, if I feared God, I would do less of that between now and the time I go to heaven. Well, I fear the Lord, I'm saved. Well, good. Now, I'm glad you're saved, but you don't fear the Lord yet. Salvation's a gift. Requires nothing but our faith, and it's an expression of God's love for us. It's a choice made by God. Salvation is a choice that God offers. Now, he didn't make us get saved. I'm not a Calvinist. But it's a choice. He chose to save us. We simply received the gift. The fear of the Lord is our choice. It expresses our love and reverence toward God. The way, you say, well, the way I live has nothing to do with how God loves me. No, but it has an awful lot to do with how you love him. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God. And what's that mean? To walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Deuteronomy 10:20 says, thou shalt fear thy God, your God. Thou shalt fear thy God. Him shalt thou serve. In fact, I'm going to get you in Deuteronomy here in a second anyway. Deuteronomy 10:20. Deuteronomy 10:20. I want to show you a couple words here. The fear of the Lord means we're going to obey him. We're going to do what's right. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. When my oldest son was about 2 years old, he was starting to really talk, and she were trying to teach him the books of the Bible. And she got to Deuteronomy. He says, I can't say Deuteronomy. Yes, you can. No, I can't. I can't say Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 10:12. The now Israel, what doth the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord Jehovah, the self-existing one, the God of the creation. That's who we're talking about. The big guy upstairs. I mean, he owns everything. He does everything. We're accountable to him. What does the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him. You're 10:20, aren't you? I was at 10:12. Go back to 10:20. You're right. Thou shalt fear thy God, him shalt thou serve. That word fear means to be afraid, but to revere. Let's say it this way: to be afraid not to. He says it to be afraid not to. Thou shalt fear thy God, him shalt thou serve. To work, to till. Watch, that means to be enslaved to be under the bondage of, either by force or by choice. If you're going to serve the Lord, to fear him, says you're going to serve him, that means you said, I've got to. You're not talking me out of this. This is what I have to do. I don't even understand everything, why he says to do, what he says to do, but all I know, he said to do it, I'm going to do it. If someone can talk you out of obeying God, then you fear them more than you fear God. That's just what it says. Why should I fear what man can do unto me? My daddy's bigger than your daddy. My daddy can do anything. He says, thou shalt serve. And if what? And to him shalt thou cleave. That's not like a meat cleaver that pulls it apart. It's like cleave unto your husband and your wife. It means to stick together, to be stuck to, adhered to, just like glue. It says, you said you're stuck fast to him. You're just kind of stuck on that God thing, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, sounds kind of funny. You're kind of odd. Well, that's probably true because, wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leads to life, and the few there be that find it. Yeah, you're probably right. Probably a whole lot more folks going another direction. But I'm just going to stick with God. He says, and to serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. Now that doesn't mean go out and use his name in vain. That's not saying write OMG on your text. By the way, that's using his name in vain, just so you know. But anyway, we don't even think about it anymore, do we? Because we've lost that much more of the fear of God. I know some don't even think about what the words even mean anymore. I understand. Maybe we should. It says, and to swear by his name. That means, that word swear means to give yourself over. to make your whole life dependent upon him. So help me. Listen, it's going to happen. God said so. This is what that's what he's saying. It's going to happen. God said so. So help me. That's what I got to stick with. This is who he is. This is what he said. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give myself over to what his promise is. I don't care what you say. And by the way, if you, I'm serious. I love you. I do. I love every single one. If you watch the first time, I love you. I do. But if you're going to send me someplace, if you're going to run off another direction than God wants to go, I'm sticking with him. I'm sorry. I'm sticking with him. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 real quick. Make sure my watch didn't stop. Did that the other day in choir practice. And I thought, boy, we're getting a lot done here. And then I realized this wasn't running anymore. You're probably doing the same thing, too. Where I came from down there, Dr. Belcher took the clock off the wall and put up a calendar. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Let me show you something here. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. Look at verse 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. He says, here's how I want you to live for me. Number one, fear me. To what? Got to live in fear. Reverence. Listen, I loved my father. He's gone. He went home to be with the Lord October a year ago. October 26th. He's gone. I loved my dad. My dad loved me. But I was not going to cross him. I could see his wrath coming if I did. Now, he didn't just jump off the handle just because of every little thing. No. He had some sense about him. But if I did something, I was on purpose. He knew I did something I wasn't supposed to do, and I did it on purpose. Look out. We don't have the right reverence, then we're going to have to fear the other side of it. He says there in verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, and watch, if I do that, to fear the Lord to keep all his commandments, and his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. And I'm not going to, there's a big long passage here, but I'll tell you what happened here. He says, we're supposed to serve, we're supposed to pass it on. That's part of our society. We have not passed on the fear of the Lord. And the fact is, some of us are baby boomers. Some of us came out of those age of the 60s, the free love, do as we please, the rebellious age, we're going to do as we want. And now that generation has raised their kids. And some of those are starting to raise kids. And somewhere down the line, we did not pass on the fear of God. Maybe we passed on the fear of us. And then they grew up and found out, well, he's not such a big guy after all. I think I could take him. We've been looking this way instead of looking that way. We're supposed to pass it on. Verse 6, and these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. This is why our society is in the mess that it's in. We fail to pass on the fear of the Lord. Our society wants to allow its children to choose for themselves. They've forgotten that foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, and now that foolishness that has not been driven out by the rod of correction is coming home to roost. Psalm 36:1 says, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. They do what they want because they do not fear God. The fear of the Lord is to do what God has commanded us to do. If we don't care about what God commands us to do, we do not fear God. And if we do not fear God, all the blessings that I read you at the very beginning, they just went out the door. All the protection, all the lack of want. Freedom from being, from wanting what you need. That all goes out the door. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. It all starts with that. Jump down to verse 12. Well, I've done this passage before, so I don't want to spend a lot of time because I've got one more point I want to give you. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Well, you forget? No. What happened is the people have forgotten. America has forgotten who put us in the place in the first place. Who gave us this nation. We've forgotten to pass on the fear of the Lord. Thanksgiving is no longer Thanksgiving. It's Turkey Day. It's just the preceding day before Christmas. And Christmas is not Christmas. It's spend every dollar in your pocket and go into debt day. And try to make yourself happy with things day. Has nothing to do with Christ. Thanksgiving has nothing to do with being thankful. Has a lot to do with being unthankful if you don't get what you want. Complaining at the table because mom and dad didn't do what they wanted you wanted them to do this year, or your kids, or whatever it is. Or she didn't put marshmallows on the yams this year. And we stand there and complain instead of being thankful for what God has given us. Verse 13, I'm supposed to go back and do 12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. What's he saying? When you stop fearing the Lord, I'll tell you what we can do to fix it. Go back to what I told you the first time. Go back and serve him. Go back and swear by his name. Live by what he says. Serve him. Fear him. Jump down to verse 23. Verse 23, and he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us a land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, watch, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive. Save your neck. Save my neck. Do what he tells you to do. It will keep you out of a lot of trouble. Amen. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments for the Lord our God, and he commanded us. Listen, the fear of the Lord is to do right. If you're not willing to do right, don't tell me you fear the Lord. I know it's hard stuff. And I know we all mess up, but we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? That's the mercy side of us, of him. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You blew it. Okay. You know, right now, you can walk out of here as pure as the day you got saved. It's possible to walk out. All you got to do is bring your sins and lay it at the altar. Say, Lord, they're all mine. They're all mine. He that covereth sin shall not prosper. He that confesseth, own up to it, and forsaketh. They're all mine, I don't want a one of them. These are all my sins, and I don't want a one of them. Take them, forgive me. He said, well, it's okay. I already paid for them. And all we're doing, we come to him like this, again, signing our name to those sins. Yeah, they're mine. Thank you for paying for them. Number two, the fear of the Lord is to hate every wicked thing. The fear of the Lord is to do right, to obey him. But look at it this way. The fear of the Lord is to hate everything that keeps me from obeying him. That's if you want to put it in a positive spin on it, is to hate every wicked thing. Anything, listen, if I know that walking with God is where I'm going to get blessed, it gets to the point, you want to try to talk me out of it? It's almost fighting words.
Amen. Amen.
You're not stealing my blessing.
Amen.
You're not stealing the blessing for my family. I'm not going. You might as well shut up. So that's their nasty words. When you're talking to sin, get nasty. Hate sin. You've heard me say in the pulpit, I hate sin. You don't know how many families have come through my office and sin has just ripped them to pieces, stolen everything they had, all because old Satan stood there and waved some little temptation in front of them. And instead of fearing God, they said, well, looks good to me. Let's go. One little one-night stand. Lose everything you have. Well, she should have forgiven me. You shouldn't have done it! And it goes for the ladies too. Amen. Start it now. You know what? So that's the kind of heavy stuff for kids. Deuteronomy said I'm supposed to teach them. You bring them in when they're young, let them find them. That's good stuff. Now, they didn't even know what they were amening. They will eventually. They just know, I know it's right. To preach the word of God, let's stick to it. I hate sin. And you ought to hate it with all, everything you've got from the depths of your soul. I'm not going to let it steal my blessing. Go back to Proverbs with me. The fear of the Lord is to hate what God hates. The word hate, Proverbs 8:13. Proverbs 8:13. We can do this. The word hate right there is interesting. We use that word in different ways. Well, I hate Brussels sprouts. You know. Amen. Hey, got some amens out of that. Okay, not the ladies. They come in. Who is it? It's Wilma. Brings in her Brussels sprouts and everything. Things go like that. Yeah, kind of put them in my pocket and hide them. You know. No, I've never had her Brussels sprouts. They're probably very, very good. But I'm just not a Brussels sprout kind of person. But anyway, I'm more of a baked potato kind of guy. The word hate means to count as an enemy. To count as an enemy. What it's saying is, it's not the fact that my flesh is saying, I despise that person. What it says, that word hate there is more coming the other direction. It's saying, I want to have nothing to do with that person because that person is an enemy to me. I've got to stay away from that. If I don't stay away from that, I can't stay away from hurt. Now read that in Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Look at that. Let's do it this way. The word evil means bad, good for nothing. Things that runs us in the wrong direction. If I fear the Lord, I count things that are good for nothing as my enemy. Things that lead me away from truth, that's my enemy. Things that gets my flesh stirred up is my enemy. Something that gets in there and gets the lust of the flesh going is my enemy. Something that stirs up the lust of the eyes is my enemy. Something that stirs up the pride of life in me is my enemy. Because if it stirs up my sin, it stirs up dirt. It stirs up hurt. And the wages of sin is, I'm a dead man. So I don't want to be anywhere near that which is evil. It's not helping me to prosper in the things of God. It's not getting me any closer to Him. It's worthless. It's not worth wasting my time on. He says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Look at the next one. Pride. Pride is an arrogance within the heart. I'm really something. You should be lucky to have me, Janet. Oh, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I love to look in the mirror. I get better looking each day. To love me is to know. To know me is to love me. I must be quite a man. Oh, Lord. it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. Yeah, start too high on that one. Yeah, pride. It's an arrogance within the heart. It says, and the evil way. I'm sorry, pride is arrogance in the heart. And then it says arrogance. That's the expressions of that arrogancy. That's the expressions of it. And then it says, and the evil way. Any road or direction that moves me toward bad things. It says, I hate that. God hates that. Anything that's just kind of heading in that direction. Well, we're not really going there. We're just going to go this far. The devil always takes you further than you wanted to go. He demands more than you were willing to give. The evil way, the froward mouth. Anything that is said that may cause me or cause others to go the evil way. Just kind of, you know, tossing in the wrong direction. I'm not going there. If it's not heading me toward the Lord, I don't want to get away, but I'm going to stay toward Him. Proverbs 6:16. Man, we're going to have to stop here soon. Proverbs 6:16. If I fear the Lord, I'm going to want to do that which is right, which I'm going to obey Him. If I fear the Lord, I'm going to hate that which God hates, anything that goes against it. Proverbs 6:16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Now watch this. It does not say homosexuals there. You know what the problem is? Listen, something's already got a hold of them and led them the wrong direction and sold them a bill of goods. And except for the grace of God, so goes I. Do you have a tendency for that? I don't have any tendency to that. Who knows what they went? I don't know what they've got, listen, that's where they are. God can get them out of that. Just like He can get us to get somebody who's been cheating on their wife. Well, I haven't done it physically. I just things I look at. He can get rid of that too. It's an evil way. It's a froward thing. These six things does the Lord hate. Seven are abomination. That means it makes Him sick. Just disgusting. 17. A proud look. Seeing yourself above others. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. We realize that I am what I am because of what God made me. How can I be proud of something that somebody else did? Whatever I am, He did. And by the way, He didn't make a mistake in how He made them. We're all together. We're all part of the body of Christ. A proud look, a lying tongue, deceitfulness, willing to state anything other than the pure truth. Hands that shed innocent blood. Those that don't care who they hurt. A heart that devises wicked imagination. That's a heart that wishes bad or damage on others. I just hate them. You know what? They don't deserve that. I think, you know, they ought to just... Feet that are swift to running to mischief. Again, someone who just doesn't mind hurting others. A false witness that speaketh lies. Someone who blows out falsehoods. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. Folks who are willing to stir up trouble and contention among the brethren.
Well, I just think people ought to know.
Is it really going to make a difference?
Well, you don't know what they did. And I just think everybody ought to know.
Love covereth a multitude of sins. If there's something that needs to be said publicly because it's hurt, something needs to be dealt with publicly because it was done publicly, okay. We don't need to... Listen, I know a lot of things about a lot of you. How much of it do you want me to tell? None of it.
Well, I just don't think they did very well. Well, you know what? They should have. I'll be honest with you. This is the truth. The next time someone comes by around you and starts saying, what did you hear? What did you do? What? You just look them, say no thank you, and move on. I'm serious. No thank you. Move on. If they persist and insist, just tell them, no, I said no thank you. I need to know it. The preacher will tell me or something will happen or I'll get, you know, it's not my business. I don't need to know that. And move on. Listen, I had a lady. This was a pastor's wife. Not long after I got here. And I happened to see him at a dinner. And we walked up the table just going to say hi. She almost jumped out of her chair to tell me the latest juicy gossip about how another church had fallen. Somebody doesn't realize God's listening. Last statement, we're all done. The fear of the Lord causes us to count evil as an enemy. And thus we would get as far away from evil as we can. Proverbs 3:5, you know that passage. You're nearby. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord. Let's trust in the Lord. He knows what he's doing. He knows what everybody else is doing. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all your ways, every place you go, and every trip you make, everything you do in life, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Check in with headquarters. In all your ways, is this what you want, Lord? It's my choice this time. He may decide whether you can take Coke or Pepsi. He may make the decision whether it's regular or diet. Sometimes he lets you make the decision. In all thy ways acknowledge him. You know, if you keep doing it, he'll direct thy ways. He'll direct thy paths. But wait a minute, watch. We're not done. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't think you've got it all figured out. Next phrase, say it with me. And depart from evil. Well, I don't know, but Dad said I shouldn't do it. You see, no one can really live like that. I don't think that's the case. There was a few times when I got off of my way. Mom always said when I was little, she said, don't go out town. Just stay out. We lived about a mile away from town. It was just a straight shot over the bridge going to past the Elon's funeral home there on Hawksville Road. Go right to Main Street there. And there was a one-mile straight trip up there, up Hawksville Road. But I wasn't supposed to do that. Now, there was a couple times when I was okay for me to walk to the end, go across the street, and there's a barbershop right there. And so I'd go to the barbershop, and I could walk back home. But I wasn't supposed to go downtown. And there was a time that I did, and I found out that wasn't what she wanted me to do. But there was also a lot of times when my buddy would say, well, why don't we just, and so help me. And be honest with you, well, Mom and Dad's going to have a fit if I do that. They'll have a cow. I can't do that. That's what I said. Inside my heart was saying, this is probably a stupid thing to do, and I can blame it on Mom and Dad. I just can't do it. Mom and Dad's going to have a fit. I'm not going to put up with that. And inside, I'm jumping for joy because my mom and my dad had told me, don't you dare. And I was glad I could put it off on them. And tell you the truth, I've used that. I've used that with my kids. I've used that with some of our staff. I said, listen, if someone doesn't like the decision, you just tell them the pastor said they just can't do it. Just put it off on the pastor. That's okay. Put it off on the pastor. Put it off on Dad. Just tell them, Dad said you can't go. Well, I just can't go. You know, it's going to be. And inside I'm saying, amen. Just stay out of trouble. We'll start. I got a few other things I want you to understand here. Listen, this is not a laborious
message.
Well, it may be boring, but that's not the point. The point is the beginning of knowledge, beginning of wisdom, the beginning of life itself is the fear of the Lord. Oh, by mercy, iniquity is purged. I'm saved. But we got to choose to fear the Lord. Father, thank you again for speaking to our hearts this morning. Thank you for doing a work. And thank you for these dear folks. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us. Help us understand this. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.